This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mully and Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to one of God's great men. He is Ron Coomer, and he does a brilliant job, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Ron, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Mikey, they're doing very well. How are you boys this morning?
Doing okay, Coom.
Yeah, we're getting ready for the football season. To start in earnest.
I watched last night. Yeah. A little bit.
What'd you think? Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Well, I have the Philadelphia quarterback, so I was rooting for Dak Prescott in the fourth quarter after the rain delay. Like, come on, dude, let's go, score some points. So the Eagles can start slinging it a little bit, but you know, that's a little selfish, but it's fun to get football. I always love the football season starts because that means playoff season, and baseball is right around the corner too, and that's about as good as it gets for sports fans and people. There's a lot of sports going on right now.
What Bears are on your fantasy football team, Coom?
Like I said, I'm really looking forward to football season. I do not have a Bear on my fantasy football team.
Now I feel bad, Coom. I'm sorry to put you on the spot there.
That's all right. No, that's all right. Yeah. I'm still rooting for them, though. I'm still a Bears fan. Even though they're playing the Vikes and my household is split, I'm still rooting for the Bears.
That is very funny. Ron, I'm curious. Have you seen Kyle Tucker? Have you been able to take a measure of the man? What did he do on the off day? Did you go in for treatment so you could see if he was in for treatment?
My knees are beyond treatment help right now. It's more like saws and things like that to chop things out and replace them with titanium. It's going to be interesting this morning. We were off yesterday, as you know, and he got the day off before. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we get good news about Kyle this morning. I'll be there in another hour or so. But, you know, this time of year, when one of your key guys gets a little nicked up and you've got a little bit of a lead in the wild card, let's just say this. I hope he's active and he's able to play today.
Right.
Or it's one more day. A lot of times, though, that is not the case. And, you know, teams get very cautious about their players. But I have no insight on any of that, so I won't know for another hour or so until I get to the ballpark.
Coombe is tricky with injuries, obviously, but I'm asking you this from comparative standpoint. We knew when he had the hand situation, he's gripping a bat, so it's understandable why his power might be impaired or his swing might be affected. How might it affect his ability to swing, make contact, and deliver a base hit here or there, or even some power if his calf is compromised or might be injured?
Well, it doesn't necessarily, and I don't know like the extent of his injury, so I'm no doctor. And Doc Adams reminds me of that all the time when we talk, and then he goes, oh, that was a great diagnosis. Yeah, he always gives me a hard time about it. I am no doctor, so I don't know, you know, the extent of his injury. I have had a pulled calf muscle, and it did not really affect me too much swinging. It was my right calf, so it would have been my back leg, not my front leg. I think if it's your front leg on your stride foot, I think that would probably have a little more effect on you than the back leg. But the other thing about that, it's not the swing so much. It's the first couple steps out of the batter's box and then trying to go down the line. Right. You hit a ball and you think it's a hit, you're going to take off like you normally would. That's the issue. It's those first two steps with your calf that ends up, you know, that's where guys pull their Achilles and rupture their Achilles, or they pull a calf muscle. Those first two steps in trying to generate that power running can be an issue. And I would think if he's even close to having an actual pulled calf, he's going to be in the injured list.
Ron Coomer on the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at Huntington.com/yourmoney. And Ron, I believe today is the day, like they you're allowed 3 days to go retroactive. So if he is going on an injured list, you know, they give him a couple days to see how it goes, and then they'd have to make a decision by today.
Right. I agree, and I understand that. And the thing that it does is, so you would play Washington this weekend, Mike, and then you would go to Atlanta, yeah, who we just saw, and play Atlanta for three. Then another off day when we come home. So, and then you would be back ready to play in that Tampa series when they get back. So if you go on the injured list, when you start looking at, you know, the dates, right, and some off days. So, like I said, I just don't know the extent. Sometimes you tweak something and then it goes away in a day or two. You know, I mean, they're young. Guys are young and they're in great shape and their bodies heal right away. And, you know, it's late in the year and you tweak a little something, but it's not serious. Other times you pull something and, you know, these 10 days are important to try to get it fixed up so he can, you know, perform in October.
Coombe, Pete Crow Armstrong has not been the same hitter the last 6 weeks that he had been previously this year. In your estimation, why?
Well, I think Pete is dealing with a few different things, David. I look at him and he's dealing with the success that he had in the first half, and then the league going, wow, this kid's amazing. And he was amazing, there's no doubt, and the things he was doing. And then the league had to really focus on him, and they started, you know, zeroing in on some of Pete's holes in his approach, and then they've attacked that. And now it's his turn to combat what they've done to him. And what they've done is they don't throw him strikes very seldom. They're making him chase, knowing that he's a real aggressive swing first guy, which is fine. But, you know, you got to swing at strikes. You got to get balls in the zone. And then the other thing, too, is he's fighting himself a little bit, too. Not a little bit, but a lot. With the success that he had hitting the ball out of the ballpark, you know, and you get so much, the accolades come pouring in because he's can do so many things and hit the ball out of the ballpark that you want to keep doing that. Well, now his swing is broke down to the point where he's trying to pull everything. And even if he's not trying to pull everything, that's the look and that's what he's doing. And, you know, you've got to get the ball back to the hitting zone. He's trying to hit it out front too much. You've got to let that ball get back to you. And the way to do that is to really, you know, in his batting practice, I'd love to see him take batting practice on the field and wear out left field for 2 or 3 days in a row in batting practice and just get your timing back to get the ball back to you so you're accustomed to hitting it back a little farther. And then as you get your timing back, you can creep that contact point back out in front just a little bit.
We should let everyone know the pregame starts at 12:45 here on the Score, and Javier Assad is throwing. I saw that Tommy Burch said on Twitter that Jameson Taillon told him that he's flying back to Chicago. He flew back last night and basically was getting ready to rejoin the Cubs today. I just wonder, you know, when you look at where they're at with the starting pitching, where the starting pitching is at, I believe Michael Soroka had a 34-pitch batting practice. We were told he's going to have another one of those on Saturday, and then he may head out for Iowa after that. When a guy hasn't, like, he hasn't been a part of the mix, but they obviously traded for him. If he comes back, is there room at the inn? You know, I mean, I'm saying as a starter, right, you know, he'd be okay out of the bullpen.
I would think, this is a guess. I have not, Counts has not told me this, and I have not heard this, but I would guess he would be out of the bullpen. You know, it would be tough to throw Michael right in there in the rotation unless something happened. Or, you know, God knows with the way the weather can be when we're going, you know, to Atlanta or some of these places and you get rainouts or something along those lines and you need a guy that's going to sub in and get into the rotation because of things like that. But if we just play out our season, I would guess he would be that long guy, three-inning guy, four innings out of the pen type of person. If you had your everything go smoothly.
So, Coom, Carlos Santana is 39 years old. He went down looking the other night in the ninth inning to end the game. It was a tough at bat. When you look at a guy who is in his 16th major league season, you have respect for his longevity, but you do wonder if he has anything left. What do you see when you watch him take batting practice or what you see when he's at the plate?
I still see a lively bat. I see a guy that can still swing. The head of the bat's getting through the hitting zone. You know, is he probably the same hitter he was when he was 32 or 30? Probably not, but I see a guy that can definitely help. I definitely see bat speed there that is warranting of him getting some at bats and getting out there and hitting. For sure. He can definitely swing it still. And, you know, he did take a pitch, you know, probably looking for something else. The thing that happens to older guys, David, is you start guessing some because you're not as quick as you were when you were 30. And if you guess wrong, it can look really bad sometimes. And that's, I'm assuming that's what that was when he took the third strike the other day to end the game.
I'm curious, Ron, when we talk about a rookie pitcher like Cade Horton, you know, they got him on a 75-pitch limit, and they're trying to be careful because they plan on using him, and they plan on using him in the playoffs, and we know how good he has been. Do you have any question? You know, guy's got a no-hitter going. I mean, listen, he already hit 75 pitches. He's not going to be able to pitch a no-hitter. You can't leave him in at that point. But I'm just curious as to how difficult that is for younger players to leave in that situation, how difficult it is to pull them, or do you just stick to the numbers and smile your way through it?
It depends on who you're talking to. I think for managers, I've asked this question of Craig Counsell before. Not necessarily about this situation, not at all about this situation, but in the past, about a guy that was out there and had a chance to get his first win, and there were two outs in the fifth, and he pulled him. And I asked him, I go, is that a tough decision for you? And he looked at me, and I've known Counts a long time since he was, you know, collegiate player and then, you know, and played against him all our years in the big leagues. He looked at me like I had two heads, like not even a little bit. Like, no, not at all. I'm doing what's best for our team. And he's a young kid. He'll get a win in the big leagues. It's just not today. So I don't think that enters in at all for, right, for Counts when they make a decision. And I also think this is something that's unique, Mike, that I do believe that players nowadays are, that has been kind of, this is kind of a weird way to say this, but I'm kind of good at that anyway, so I say some weird stuff on the air. It's kind of bred out of them, right? This baseball thing that we used to see years ago of stay in there, you got a no-hitter, and you got, you know, and guys stay in there for 130, 140 pitches, 120 pitches. That's all gone now. I think pitchers and everybody has realized that that is not going to be part of what happens. And these hard pitch count numbers are here to stay, and they're not going to. And, you know, doctors, I think, go along with, you know, some of the way these organizations are doing this. And I think the kids that are pitching are going along with it, too. I think they realize it, too, and they don't fight it. You know, do they want to stay in for an extra hitter or two, get the win, some of that? Sure. But I don't think, you know, you're getting a lot of pushback on a guy saying, I want to throw, you know, I'm at 75 pitches. I think I can get the no-hitter, but it's going to take me to 120 pitches. I don't think you're getting that.
So what he has done, though, Coom, Cade Horton, since debuting in May, is put up numbers that are comparable, ooh, to Paul Skenes, Tarik Skubal, and that's the best good in the sport.
Yeah.
He's not just Chicago good. He is MLB good and one of the best pitchers in baseball, which sounds like an exaggeration, but it really isn't. How surprised have you been, and how have you changed maybe your expectations for a Cade Horton this year?
Very surprised, because you just didn't know him. He didn't make our team out of spring, David. So, I mean, you know, he's come onto the scene, and, you know, out of some need, actually. And, you know, you knew he was good, and he, you know, as he has gotten better and better command of his change and gotten a third pitch, that has just taken off. And now he has confidence in that pitch to throw at any time. So with his fastball in the mid-90s, all of the mid-90s, I mean, he can get it up there at 97 sometimes. And the way he throws it, it cuts naturally. Very difficult for the hitter. Now his slider, very good slider, and it has great tilt to it. It's a swing and miss slider, and now he's got a change to combat the left-handers. He's the total package. The other thing that people don't talk about, and you do as a hitter, is his short arm swing. That short arm swing is the thing that makes him unique. You know, the long arm swing hitters can time you a little better. The short arm swing, it's almost like an Iron Mike, or like the ball spitting out of tires when you used to go to the batting machine. You don't see the ball right, and it just pops out at you, and you react to fastball, and then the ball backs up, and I think he gets a lot of that too. So he has deception, he has great stuff, and then the other thing that we're finding out about him that Counts told us about a long time ago is his competitiveness. He's a very, very competitive young guy, and those are great. That's a great combination to have as a starting pitcher or any player in the league.
We'll let you go, Ron. I'm just curious. Do you monitor injuries around the league? Do you keep an eye on, you know, for instance, the Brewers? I mean, every time you turn around, they're losing a bullpen piece, and now Christian Yelich is back going. It's kind of, you know, you wonder if you're going to face people in the playoffs or if you're battling for the division.
Mo's already looking at the second round.
If they got some bad luck going on. Yeah.
I love it. Hey, if we get to the first round and we're talking about this, I'm all for it, brother. But you know, in 2016, the Cleveland Indians lost three of their starting rotation, or two of them.
Yeah.
And then if you remember, was Bowers that put his hand, right, on the drone, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was idiotic.
All that stuff matters, you know. Yeah. And at the end of the day, getting to October baseball, you know, for all these teams that are close, How is your health? Right? I mean, we all got good players, but do you got those guys on the field? It's tough, man, at this time of year. Every day is a new day, and it's tough to stay, you know, keep your team on the field and keep them healthy. It really is. And I do watch. Absolutely, I do. Yeah.
You're the best, Ron. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Coom.
Boys, have a great weekend. And Dustin's going to be joining us in the booth tomorrow, so I look forward to that. He's going to be doing pre and post tomorrow. So, yeah, that'll be fun. I'm glad he's coming aboard with us instead of just working. Dust, you don't have to get up at 4 in the morning tomorrow. You do not.
It's going to be a Hall of Fame weekend all the way around.
That's right.
Yes, that's why we're bringing him in, boys.
Yep, that's what we figured. Thanks, Coom.
Thanks, Coom. That's awesome. Yep. He is so welcoming, Dustin. You're lucky to work with a guy like
that. What a pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Batting six, second baseman number two, Nico Hoerner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys. Nico Hoerner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Third and second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
The 3-1.
Swing and a drive. Deep left field. It's got a chance. It's gone. Three-run homer, Nico Hoerner. One of the longest we've ever seen him hit. He got all of that one. And the Bay Area native has just given the Cubs a 3-1 lead. What a blast.
Welcome home, Nico, the kid from the Bay Area.
Hoerner hits a fly ball into right center. Pretty well hit. Back goes Doyle. Hoerner gets the RBI with a long sack fly into deep right center. It's his 54th run batted in, and the Cubs lead 1-0.
Line drive down the left side. That'll curl into the corner. And Nico into second. It's a two-bagger. Hoerner, like a Xerox copy of what he did last time. And it's a double for Nico. Double thumbs up.
I'm fairly convinced if Nico were a Colorado Rocky, played all his home games here, he'd be about a 330 hitter.
Nico Hoerner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
It's so much fun to talk with Nico. Nico Hoerner,
On the Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk free checking. More at Huntington.com. And he joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Nico, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We are delightful. Man, that was fun to hear those highlights in there. And we'll talk about yesterday's game, but can we talk about the no-doubter home run in San Francisco where you, I think you threw your bat kind of like you were Jose Bautista in a playoff game for the Blue Jays like that. I don't know how many no-doubters you've had as an MLB player, but that had to feel unbelievably great.
Yeah, it felt great. It was a cool moment to share with a bunch of family and friends that were able to be there and stuff. So nice timing with that one for sure.
How many people were there this time?
There was probably like 15 people there that day or so.
So what do you do? Like, do you do like a reception or something afterwards? You get together with everybody or what? Because I don't know if you've checked out.
Quarterback, like, right? You're thinking of Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
I know you were thinking that.
Yeah, Joe Burrow does this thing. Well, he'll go up to the box where everyone is and then crack a beer and apparently not wear a shirt and just hang out with everyone. So do you do like a big dinner with everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL schedule and baseball one are a little different as far as the significance of each game. No, there's a little family room or something in most fields or even down on the field. But yeah, always good to see people. I mean, the first time playing there was a little overwhelming. And I think I was still kind of figuring out how to handle that stuff and, you know, keep with my routines, but also get to see everybody. And I think I've gotten a little better at that over the years, but you know, playing well always helps.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to have a pretty good capacity to mix the social with the baseball. But is that easier after the game than it is before the game?
Yeah, definitely easier after. But even good or bad game, it's still like, it's a little funny just seeing people immediately after getting off the field. You're in such a different headspace than everyone who just, you know, drank three or four beers and hung out and just caught a baseball game. So, yeah, it's always kind of a funny change of headspace, but always cool to see people that have known me for a long time and seen me play a lot of baseball in that area since I was a little kid. So, yeah, that's cool to share.
Nico, that game yesterday, down 6-1, and you guys claw all the way back. Pete with the bunt before Dansby had the two-run double. Then Carson Kelly, the home run. That felt like one of those magical May and June wins that you guys kind of piled up at the beginning of the year, didn't it?
Yeah, that was really special. I mean, we had a long road trip and felt like we hadn't been at Wrigley in a really long time. And you want to embrace that. And it was a great crowd. And, you know, those first three or four innings just did not go well. You know, it was not our best baseball, but really telling just of where our team's at and what we're capable of to come back and win that game. And that was super uplifting, you know, more than any one win in the standings or things like that. You know, it's first game of the month and first game of a homestand. And, you know, sometimes those things line up in a way that make those things feel a little bit more significant. We've talked about that a lot over the year, right? When, you know, one win can feel like more or less or whatever it is, but that one just for morale and everything else, that felt like a big deal and really great moments for guys, big swings.
I geek out on base running. Spiegs knows this. I love to watch Pete go first to third. I love to watch you go first to third. Guys like Mike Trout, like watching them go first to third. I thought the base running yesterday, once you guys got to a point where you could smell the rally, I thought you guys were so crisp, like hitting the corners of the bags, not losing stride, like all the stuff that you get from the Tom Emanski baseball school. It was right there in front of us. How much do you guys talk about base running, or is it just ingrained? Because you guys run the bases really well as a group.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you say base running, and the first thing I think comes to mind for a lot of guys is the stolen base side of it. And, you know, we did a great job of that. Early in the season, really took advantage of some teams and haven't had as much success lately. But like you said, there's a lot more to it than just the stolen base. And, you know, we have a lot of really good athletes in our lineup. So it's a fun thing when we're starting to get a lot of traffic on there and guys are flying around and the crowd's going crazy. That's a really, really cool thing to be in the middle of and definitely something we take a lot of pride in as a group.
Yeah, Pete scoring from first on that double.
On a ball that doesn't even make it to the warning track. Like, yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it all starts with a big primary lead with the first baseman not holding him on. So he's almost halfway to second base there already. And just the anticipation and excitement to impact the game in any way you can. It's a really great thing about being a good athlete in this game is you know, the hitting side of things comes and goes for all of us. But if you're able to impact the game every day on defense and base running, then you're going to be a really valuable player.
We know how seriously you take every moment and every aspect of the game. Was that tough on you psychologically to get picked off in that spot? Like, do you need to recover from that? Teammates need to talk to you, or you need to take a moment and flip the switch? What's that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't need help from anybody else. It's more so just like, I mean, there's peace of mind in that I committed to something that was exactly what we planned for before the game. But for it not to, you know, to line up and to be in a spot where it feels like we were starting to get some momentum going with Ian hitting a homer and, you know, me getting on base and no outs and having a chance to really get back into the game. I definitely felt like it killed a lot of momentum and then turned into a couple of runs for them in the top half. And yeah, that definitely stung.
I didn't realize that it was part of a master plan that just didn't all come to fruition together.
Yeah, I mean, we prep every game base running wise, just like we do offensively, extensive scouting reports and stuff like that. And, you know, there's risk involved in everything. And yeah, unfortunately, that didn't work out.
There's a lot of movement roster wise with you guys. So, and obviously, yeah. And you can, and with the extension of the roster too, like that helps. So how do you navigate that? Like you're meeting new guys, you're playing behind new guys and you bring in Savali. He comes in and he does a great job for you yesterday. How do you navigate all of that change that's gone on with your team over the last 3 days?
Yeah, it is interesting and it's unique how late in the year this one is. Obviously the trade deadline is kind of something we're all used to dealing with, but yeah, roster expansion, even though it's not what it used to be in September, it still is different. And I think you know, you can have as many conversations as you can with guys, but to get out there on the field and share emotions and experiences that happen in the game is really the way I think we all become close. And yeah, amazing outing yesterday, three innings of really, really great pitching through the heart of their lineup and kept us in the game, and that was huge for our win.
Any interactions with Carlos Santana through the years? 16 years in the bigs. He won a gold glove at age 38. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was they were playing against us when he hit his 400th double, which was cool. Just like he got to second base and he asked for the ball and I was like, what was that? He said 400 doubles. I'm like, man, that's a lot of baseball. But yeah, it's cool to have another guy around who's, you know, been through so many different things in the game. And I think guys that are former catchers too often have a kind of a different lens that they see the game with. So yeah, excited to pick his brain and have him around.
Matt Shaw told us or told me a story. I did like a Q&A with Matt Shaw a few weeks back. And he told his story about, like, he was leading off first base in Cleveland with Santana playing first base. Did he tell you about this? You know about this?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, so he was like, and Carlos Santana said to him, how long you been in the bigs? And Matt said, I'm a rookie. It's like, oh, okay. And then he led off first base, and he came back, and then he led off first again, and came back. And then the inning ended, and Carlos Santana turned to him and said, I've been in the big leagues for 16 years and ran off the field. Like that was their entire exchange. Like Carlos was waiting to be asked how long he'd been in the big leagues, and Matt got a kick out of it. Carlos is probably very proud of having 16 years is bananas. Nico, what do you think about it?
Yeah, as he should be there. I mean, you hit 31, 32 now, and you know, all the regression models and everything hates you, and so then it's time for you to be out of the game. And so if you're a guy that can play through your mid-30s and into your late-30s and even 40 like JT, like it's a huge, huge testament to the quality of player you are, but also just who you are, and that both for yourself are able to take care of yourself and continue to find ways to be productive, but also you're somebody that people want to have around. They're choosing you. They want you to be a part of their team, whether it's a starting player or a a role off the bench or multiple positions. Like, you're a player that especially winning teams have made an effort to keep you around, and are paying you for your production, but also who you are. And, you know, there isn't as much of that in baseball now, I don't think, but it's cool when that is still a part of the picture.
Let's go back to the milestones for a second. The 400 doubles for Carlos Santana, like, what have you kept? Like, what are the moments in the game you're like, yeah, I need that ball because that's important?
Oh, I don't really have a whole lot of my own stuff. Someone grabbed my 500th hit, so I have that somewhere. And then obviously, like, your first hit, first homer, feels like it happens all fast. And then it's like, okay, play for 10 years and we'll get back to you. baseball is such a sport of respecting experience. And I know the game's gone very young and there's so much value in the young players right now as there should be, but for the guys that are able to really stick it out, and just have so much respect for them, because guys that have played 15 years in baseball right now, the game's changed a lot, and they've seen so much change but still been able to have success and continue to develop and find ways to be productive. I think that's really cool.
I think that there's obviously a lot of joy in seeing, like, you have a milestone moment, right? But I love to watch veteran guys when young guys have it. Like when Owen Casey comes up and he's got the first hit and the first RBI and the first home run, and seeing you guys as a clubhouse and as a dugout go crazy and be like, no, get that ball, get that ball. I love seeing that. What's that like when you see one of the young kids hit their first milestones?
It's a huge deal. And I think, you know, no matter where you are in your career, you remember every bit of your first couple of days in the big leagues and first milestones and conversations you have. Like, that stuff is just cemented so deeply in your brain from a really heightened time in your life and career. And, I think guys are just, they know, like, no one understands better than the other players, like, what that feels like. And just whether it's a close game or whatever is happening, everything kind of stops in that moment. And it's a really cool thing to celebrate. And no matter what happens in someone's career after that, just that they have that moment, that's forever. And it takes so much to get to that point that it's cool to celebrate.
Nico Horner's with us here on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. The game-tying home run from Carson, and Ian did the same thing on Sunday. That's got to be a crazy vibe in the dugout, the improbable late game tying home run when that's exactly what you need. Ian, by the way, 6-game hit streak, 9 for his last 17. He's been huge, hasn't he, of late?
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, I know it's a production sport, but, you know, his expected numbers have been way better than his production for most of the year. And no surprise that, you know, he's continuing to put a great version of himself out on the field like he does every year. And he's going to finish the year in as good a spot or better than past years. And, it's a testament to his resilience mentally and just him knowing who he is so well, and just a joy to play with. And yeah, it's pretty special.
Can you explain the instinct of trying to untuck the shirt of Carson Kelly after he hits the game tying home run? It was Kevin Alcantara, who's been here for like 5 minutes. He's like, just reaching out there. He's like, let me untuck the shirt. Like, what is the idea? Is the idea to have people end up like Christopher Morel, like crossing home plate, naked on the top?
Wait, sorry,
half?
This was the game tying homer?
Yes, the game tying home run. Oh, no, it was the walk off. Okay. You're right. It's the walk off. Walk off.
Because he would still need that jersey.
Yeah, he would still need it after the home run. It's a good point.
Yeah, there's kind of always been an obsession with declothing the walk-off guy. I don't know. It seems like some guys are more excited for it than others. Like, some guys really want that shirtless moment after they hit their walk-off, and other guys prefer to probably be a little covered up. I don't know.
Do you prefer the shirtless moment? Do you aspire to a shirtless walk-off moment?
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm okay without it. I think I'm all right without it. I think the walk-offs I've been a part of, I think I've been kind of earlier in the year, maybe a little colder, maybe a midsummer game, it'd be a little more appetizing. But I think I'm good with the uniform. I like it.
I always like watching this part of the game too, Nico, because guys make a choice. For example, if you're someone that doesn't want to get hit in the head, you throw your helmet away. And then guys are not going to necessarily hit you in the head as hard as they would if you came across home plate with your helmet still on. Or the guy that's like, oh, here they go, like that he's trotting the home plate and everyone's there getting ready to dap him up and pour water on him. And he's like, all right, I'll just untuck the jersey. Go ahead, pull it off, all that good stuff. I love watching those interactions because you get to see some of the personalities of the guys and like what they prefer in celebrating their awesome accomplishment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's definitely, and even the walk-offs themselves have a variety of feelings to them, like kind of how the game was and what it took to get to that point and what the moment was like. It's a special thing, but Wrigley always makes it that much better. And yesterday was a really great crowd.
You've got a chance here as one of the best teams in baseball to establish yourselves and feel great heading into the playoffs. Regardless, I mean, it's 5.5 right now in the division, but you're the number one wild card team. Like, what a tremendous opportunity. If you were asked at the beginning of the year, would you accept this? What, 20 games over 500 with a chance to make the playoffs, feeling good about yourselves? It's a pretty damn good spot, isn't it?
It is. It is in a lot of ways, and I'm glad that you said that it's an opportunity, because the end of the year can be such a trap for players individually and even as a group too, because you know those days start getting numbered and guys can get obsessed with, you know, getting to this or that number or the team too, and it starts to mess with the process of how you actually got to that point in the first place. And it is going to feel different and emotions are going to be more intense, but that also means the opportunity for that joy and excitement and days like yesterday are higher than normal too. And it's just an amazing thing to get to seize. And I mean, I've been here since the end of 2019, and you know, we made the playoffs in 2020, but that was COVID and I didn't play. And so I haven't experienced this, what we have in front of us, honestly, yet. And so, yeah, there's a ton that goes into it, and I'm really excited.
So can you help with that perspective, the fact that you haven't had a chance to experience this? Like you just said, there's some kids that don't know how rare an opportunity this might be right now.
Right, yeah. And I think, you know, Cubs fans understand that too, right? Like fans that have been fans for decades on end, they've seen great teams, and they've also seen stretches where the playoffs weren't expected every year or whatever you want to call it. And so the fact that we've, no matter how or if it happens, like get to that point, then there's a lot to be celebrated within that. Obviously we're going to do everything we can to win the division and finish the year as strong as we can as a group and winning as many games possible, and that is the priority. But never taking that for granted, because you don't know what next year holds. And no matter what kind of year you're having as an individual right now, just getting all in on the group and embracing this opportunity for sure.
I like what I'm hearing from both of you, because it's clear that we have all been influenced by Craig Counsell, because that's how Counts talks about it. He always talks about there's an opportunity the next day. There's an opportunity the next at bat. And you need to cherish and stay in that place where there's an opportunity for it. So I love hearing it. I'm so glad that we do this segment with you, because I think that you've done a really great job, Nico, of bringing people in to what it's like to be a player. And that's the idea of doing segments like this. The stuff that's going on in your mind, we always wonder, is that type of stuff going on in your mind? So to you to give voice to it, I think is great. And I think that it allows for the fan to get even closer to the game.
Yeah. And I mean, I think for all players, there's always like that next thing and next whatever, whether you're in your first year, your sixth, your 11th, like there's a next thing that's pressing on your mind as an individual and thing you want to accomplish and this and that. And I think what's cool about this year that I feel like I've learned a little bit more of is just how much easier all that comes when you're surrounded by other people that are driven and having success and producing, and all those things that, you know, you want to achieve individually happen a lot more organically as a result of like the people around you. And it's such a fine line, and like the times when we've played really well this year and the times that we haven't, like the work behind the scenes and the conversations, it's just not that different. And I don't have a a secret sauce or answer for it. I wish I did, but I do know that we all really, really benefit from each other. And there's been a lot of amazing things individually this year in our group that I think have been kind of made possible by each other. And same goes for this next 3-4 weeks as we finish up the regular season.
Is Nico Hoerner Fantasy Football Manager making his return to the league this year? You're locked in.
Yeah, we had a draft. We had our draft in Colorado.
Okay.
First, when we got in there, yep.
Who's your first rounder?
Genty. And then I had Bucky Irving as my second pick. So I went double running back. We're double flex league, so the running back, I think, is a little more valuable.
Got any Bears? Got any Bears, Nico?
No Bears.
Oh! No Bears. No Bears sounded a lot like Go Bears, but the other way.
Go Bears for sure. I root for the Bears.
There you go.
I don't have a team, but I root for the Bears. No, it didn't line up. I think they were all just going off the board so fast. I just missed them all.
Sure. Bunch of jamokes on your team going for all the home guys, right?
Why not? Why not? Well, Nico, thanks so much as always. We appreciate you. Good luck against Atlanta tonight.
Go Bears.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Nico.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, man.
That's Nico Hoerner.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
He's not going to play tomorrow, but I think, you know, calves are hamstrings, calves. You know, we just got to see how he feels on Friday. And, you know, we'll be cautious, absolutely, here. But he's, you know, he's like, we'll just, you know, let's see how it feels Friday and we'll go from there.
That was Craig Counsell talking about Kyle Tucker. That was from Tuesday. We know Tucker had a calf strain. He had to leave the game. And then Willie Castro ended up filling in. He did not play on Wednesday against the Braves. And unfortunately for the Cubs, they ended up losing that game. So now we're trying to figure out what happens to him today. This is Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody, Mark's at Hallis Hall. As we get you ready for Cubs baseball right here on The Score, you can hear that game starting at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20. The only local broadcast of tonight's game can be heard on The Score, today's game rather, and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. I'm not going to do the Lawrence pause. It's gotten too much. Like, it's gotten to the point, Marshall, where if Lawrence pauses on Southwest Airlines Cubs, I'll take like 7 steps on a walk before he says the word radio network.
Why is he pausing?
Do we have a story behind that, or is it he just does, that's his thing?
It's fun. It's funny. It's okay. Different.
All right. No, because I heard him do it, but I was like, oh, did I miss the memo?
Yeah, I had
this?
No idea why as well.
Yeah. I've heard
things people do.
No, I like it, but it keeps me on the edge of my seat. What's he going to say next?
And then I was walking, and I look like a lunatic because I'm walking down the street, and then I'm walking during the pause, and I'm yelling to myself on my headphones, come on! Because it'd be like Southwest Airlines, Cubs.
Radio Network.
I was not on the edge of my seat because I knew the words that were coming after.
But
so
you
I was
jumped
not.
In. Like, Layla was going to let that milk for like a little bit more.
I know. She's going to let it go for about 15 seconds, but this is a short segment, so I want to get to what we got to talk about because I think it's very important.
Are you serious? You're trying to rush the timeline on guys like Kyle Tucker when I think he thinks he's got all the time in the world, not for his injury, but for his upcoming free agent contract. This is the latest from Jeff Passan. This just dropped at 7 this morning. He did talk indeed about Kyle Tucker, and I want to even take us back to what he first had to say on the Cubs Weekly podcast on Marquee. Which would you like to hear first, the most recent pass and drop?
No. Let's go chronological so we can let it play out.
All right. Previously with Jeff Passan on Kyle Tucker.
I've said yes in the past, and I will still say yes now, but I think the Cubs are going to have a limit that they're not going to want to go past. And the reason I have pause on saying unequivocally, yes, they are the favorite, is because I've seen this time and again. We saw it with Alex Bregman. Like, the Cubs should have gotten Alex Bregman in the winter. I've seen the Cubs have a willingness to stop and to say, we are not going to go a penny over that. And you can keep pushing and you can keep trying and you can keep cajoling and you can keep telling us we're not going to get the player, but we're not moving. And one could call that either discipline or foolishness. And maybe it's a little bit of both.
Hmm. So he said that he thinks that, yes, the Cubs were still the front runner last week to get Kyle Tucker.
But there was a cap.
What you don't want is for the Cubs to be the should have champions of 2025. You know, like, we talk a lot and joke about the Bears being offseason champs, and that's become a running thing in the NFL. You don't want the Cubs to be the running shoulda champions in 2025. Like, that can't be happening.
We might be on that path. We might be on that path after the trade deadline.
So, now that you know that piece, and again, that was the Marquee Cubs Weekly broadcast, the article today that dropped, number one, first bullet point with a bullet. How much does Kyle Tucker get? So he says, you know, goes into the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. $500 million deal, not looking unreasonable. But he says Tucker's best comparable might be Mookie Betts, not because of the similarities of their games, but rather the level at which they produce while maintaining minuscule strikeout rates, which perhaps in today's day and age we don't value enough out of Tucker. He is eighth in on-base percentage. Fewest players are as good as any of the three facets of the game as Tucker, let alone all three. Betts is the most obvious, and he signed a 12-year, $365 million deal that started in his age 28 season. So yeah, the number is going to be big, likely in the $400 million range. Now, Marshall, that's about 200 off from what Jim Bowden has said to us and really maintained for the early, I would say, 4 or 5 months of that prediction.
I want to just stay right here. I've never been on board with Jim Bowden in $600 million. The $400 to $500 million made way more sense to me every step of the way.
Jim Bowden, yeah, he's known to go out on a limb here and there. That's to say the very least. But it also gives me an understanding of the range, because how many times have we been in this situation where we're talking about a guy in the nine-figure discussion, and it starts out with a low figure, and then somebody like the Dodgers swoops in with Shohei Ohtani, or you have the Juan Soto contract. So I don't mind Jim going out there like that. But that's not what Passan is saying, and Passan tends to be somebody we look to as like the benchmark, if you will. He's that guy when it comes to the contracts. The Philadelphia Phillies, he goes on to say, could desperately use a big corner outfield bat, particularly if the next player on this list takes his talents elsewhere. The San Francisco Giants need a compliment to Rafael Devers in the middle of the lineup. Others, including the Cubs, will be in the mix. The market will find Tucker, as it eventually does, with the best players in every class. And the next player on his list is Kyle Schwarber.
Battle of the Kyles. I think for what the Cubs are willing to pay, you have to look around and say, if we don't get Kyle Tucker, what are the backup plans? And then the question could be asked, because of the injuries of the last couple of seasons, is Kyle Tucker still worth these numbers that are being bantied about? That's what it comes down to, right?
Well, and I think in part of all of this, I found myself thinking, irrationally, but I found myself thinking about the likelihood of Tucker staying as far as this brief headache, and hopefully it was just brief, with his injury availability. When you're already having to plan for somebody's absence, and the players on the team that you're planning for to fill it were younger players with more years of control, I don't know how you don't wonder, like, A, given his free agent contract deal, you're thinking, well, we were going to have to do this anyway. You know, you're already planning for the exit. Are you getting a head start right now when you're having to fill the gaps in the way you are? But then again, it's like, no, he's the reason you're so many games above 500. Like, he was money in the bank for you. And when he's good, who's better? And you look at that eighth OPS and you're saying to yourself, even when he's not 100% himself, how much is he still affecting your team in a positive way?
No, I think that and the correlation at the All-Star break, or excuse me, at the trade deadline, was when they wouldn't trade Owen Casey and so many guys were untouchable. I was like, is that because you know you need him because Kyle Tucker ain't coming back? That was the first thought in my head. How can you not think that that's a possibility? And that's what we're going to have to wrestle with between now and, of course, the decision.
And if that's the case, maybe Carter Hawkins just picked the word 2032 out of thin air when he really meant 2026.
And you
don't want to light a fire under the fans' butts to think that. But.
If I was a GM today or an owner, either way, I'm not looking past 2027. I just refuse to. I'm like, we're doing everything we can to win between now and 2027 because I don't think 2027 is happening in the way that we hope for.
Hey, West Loop friends and people adjacent to West Loop. Join the Score out at Wild Fork today, where you can meet Molly in a few minutes, starting from 11 until 1 at the West Loop location on South Halstead. There will be a food truck on site. Who doesn't love a Friday food truck?
Everybody loves a food truck every day of the week.
I know, and Wild Fork is some quality stuff. Plus an in-store scavenger hunt for a chance to win a $150 Wild Fork gift card. That is today with Molly from 11 to 1 at Wild Fork in the West Loop.
We can't make it. I just did the math.
I thought about it as well.
Yeah.
Coming up, we have more here on 670 The Score and the Raheemy and Harris with Mark Rohde show. Our friend Adam Hogue is back. He's part of our regular Bears guests, and he will join us to talk more about that Ben Johnson, I think, plan against the defense we're going to see, and more injuries as well. Adam is next here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Rohde on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see.
Episodes of the Lazy Genius podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.